This is the State of Things from the American Tobacco Historic District. I'm Frank Stacio. Republican leaders at the General Assembly are working to wrap up their short session. Today, the Senate is considering a flurry of bills, and as it has often been the case with this legislature, lawmakers are debating some of the most controversial legislation in the last days of the session. Proposals could change the way some police officers do their work and potentially reorganize the Asheville City Council. Joining us from Raleigh to walk us through this and more is WUNC Capitol reporter Jorge Valencia. Welcome, Jorge.
Greetings from the Capitol, Frank.
Hey, you've got to work on a Friday. That's unusual for your beat. Tell us
more about that. Hey, I'm always working on Fridays.
Oh, you're working.
I'm just not here.
Tell us about why you're there.
Well, like you said it, lawmakers often like to save the best for last. Yeah. And they got their eyes on the exit, Republican leaders in the Senate. And North Carolina, as you know, is a state in which the General Assembly does not have a set adjournment date. So the fact that they're working on Friday, they usually don't work on Mondays. They're going to be here on Monday. They have a full schedule. That means that they're probably trying to catch up, wrap up, and that this might be some of the most controversial legislation we'll see during the session.
Sure. Tell us more. The Asheville City Council, for instance, could be reorganized by the folks on Jones Street. Tell us more.
That is very likely to happen. It just passed a key panel in the Senate this morning. There's a key person here that I want you to know about. His name is Senator Tom Apodaca. He's a very crucial member of the Senate. He's the rules chairman, and he also happens to be on his way out. He's not running for reelection. And he represents part of Western North Carolina and includes a portion in Southern Asheville. He's got about 14,000 constituents there. And he says that they haven't really been represented in the Asheville City Council in a long time because most of the members tend to come from the center of the city. So he's got this proposal to divide the city into six sections, and each council member would have to come from each one of those sections. Now, every other member of the General Assembly who represents Asheville or parts of Asheville, all the city council members, the mayor, who are all, by the way, Democrats, are quite incensed about this measure, and they strongly oppose it because they say that they haven't asked for it and that they don't think that the city needs it.
Now, this is not the first time the legislature has told cities how they should run their government, right? Greensboro is an example.
Greensboro is the most recent example. The city of Greensboro last year, we also had a case in the Wake County Board of Governors. And this is something that the General Assembly has the authority to do. In North Carolina, the Constitution gives the General Assembly authority over the cities. And now that we've got a Republican majority, we have had some of these cases in which they are tweaking, if you will, the way that some cities that are led by Democrats operate. And by the way, those cases in Greensboro and Wake County are still in the courts.
Right. And we've got also examples of local water authorities, local airport authorities.
Yes.
Not to mention HB2. So a lot of cases, really a kind of body of work by this legislature where the state legislature is really interfering in the affairs. The critics would say interfering in the affairs of local folk. And the legislature would say, we're just doing our job.
I think body of work is a good way to put it. It is certainly one of the prevailing recurring themes of the General Assembly that we've had since we've had this composition in 2011.
Yeah, yeah. And I think you made reference to you may have misspoken, but it was the Wake County Board of Commissioners, whatever it is.
Sorry about
said.
That. Yes, thank you.
Board of Governors,
thank you.
But this is a county commission. So now there's also a bill that would restrict funding for so-called sanctuary cities. Tell us about that bill.
Well, that one is a follow-up from controversial legislation that was passed at the end of last session. And so right now what we have is that the state has told cities and counties, you shall not pass ordinances that are in some ways friendly to undocumented immigrants. That includes, for example, telling the police chief, direct your police officers to deprioritize the collection of people's immigration status. In other words, to deprioritize the enforcement of federal immigration laws. So the General Assembly didn't like that. They passed that law, but they realized this year there's no enforcement mechanism. So what they've come up with is a way to penalize cities for this. So they're saying now the Attorney General is going to have this authority to review this if anybody complains about this. And if the Attorney General decides that you are you're not following state immigration law, then we can cut off funding for your schools and for your cities for an entire fiscal year.
Any sense
schools and transportation, yeah.
So they're going to cut school funding and transportation funding in order to punish cities that offer sanctuary.
Yes, they want to put that out there to deter cities from doing so.
Yeah, that would discourage them. Tell me what kind of chance it has. Is this something that looks like it's going
to... Very good chance of passing. Senate Leader Phil Berger, he's the most powerful member in the Senate. That was one of his bullet points that he laid out at the beginning of the legislative session. He said that was one of his priorities. And we've also got a state senator. His name is Buck Newton. He's from Nash County. And he also happens to be running for attorney general this fall. And he is a very strong supporter. And he has a lot of capital here at the General Assembly. And he's a strong supporter of this. So there's a very good chance that this is going to go into the books.
Now, there are also a few competing gun measures floating around in the wake of the Orlando shooting. Can you tell us about those?
Yeah, I think a very interesting one that has come up for discussion, we should clarify, is a piece of legislation that some very gun advocate lawmakers have been proposing for years and just hasn't gotten a lot of traction. And it's still around. And the crux of it is that they are proposing, they want the state to put to referendum for voters a constitutional amendment that basically says lawmakers cannot restrict people's Second Amendment rights. Now, this, of course, comes under new light after the Orlando shootings. So we've got that one on one end of the spectrum. Then we've got another one that a handful of Democrats in the Senate proposed this week that they say that they want the state to ban people who are on the terrorist watch list from being able to access firearms. Now, there's a lot of questions about this of, how can somebody appeal being on that list? How will the state access this federal list? So those are pieces of legislation that people are talking about in the wake of these shootings. Now, how likely is it for either one of these two to pass? Not very likely. Like I said, the earlier that I was talking about hasn't really gone anywhere in recent years. And this one from Democratic senators, Senate Leader Phil Berger did say he will, if he gets a full proposal, he will gladly look at it. But we're running out of time, so it seems unlikely that those two will move. But, we won't know until the end of the legislative session, but at least so far, probably not.
This is a legislative session that is called the short session, and it is designed mainly to make budget adjustments in what is considered a four-year budget that's created.
Two-year budget,
but also to take a look at that and make sure, if there are any adjustments that need to be made. That's the primary work of this short session. What about that budget adjustments? Can we have any idea how close they are and what we might see?
We're very close to ending that process. As you know, first the governor made his proposal, the House made theirs, then the Senate made theirs, and now we're in a stage in which leaders in the House and the Senate are having closed-door meetings or maybe hallway meetings, because I was just walking down the hall a little bit ago and I saw a state representative having a heated a debate with one of his counterparts in the Senate in the hallway. So it seems like we're getting close to it. It's possible that maybe we'll see a compromise by the end of the weekend, and we'll have an idea then. Some of the pressure points, if you will, are a proposal to limit the state income tax to 5.5%. Both the House and the Senate do want to do it, but the Senate wants to do it pretty quickly, within 2 years. The House wants to phase it in over 4 years. So that's one of them. And then the other one is one that we keep on talking about every year, which is, are we going to give teachers pay raises? How much are we going to give teachers pay raises? I mean, everybody wants to give teachers pay raises. It's just a matter of which teachers and how much.
You talked about the Senate at least wanting to speed things up, calling this unusual session for a Friday. Is there any sense, or was there any pushback that, we're not ready for this? You're pushing ahead with legislation. We haven't even looked at it yet. That has been a complaint. I wonder if lawmakers feel they've had enough time to look at some of the legislation on their table today when they may not have been expecting it.
You're right. That is very often the case, and that was certainly one of the biggest complaints with HB2, because members had literally minutes to look at the legislation. With what's on the docket today, most of it, there haven't been complaints of that. But this sanctuary city measure that we were talking about, that was something that was spread up. And I don't want to bore you with the parliamentary process, but they did use a procedure to speed up that process, in which they effectively skipped five votes, deliberation of the House of Representatives and then deliberation in a committee in the Senate in order to be able to debate it today. So yeah,
that's interesting. You're going to fast track that legislation, which could cut funding to local school districts. That's pretty important for those kids, I guess. But very interesting. You would speed up that. Hey, you mentioned HB2. Any chance that we'd see a revision in HB2 in this session?
You know, very interesting. We did ask a speaker, Tim Moore, yesterday, and he said he was actually noncommittal about it. He says that, in his words, nobody knows yet whether we'll see any tweaks to HB2 before the end of the legislative session.
All right, Jorge, get back to work.
Thanks, Mike.
Jorge Valencia, Capitol reporter for WUNC. Just ahead, we'll explore North Carolina through its summer festivals, and you'll hear about that on the State of Things from North Carolina Public Radio, a broadcast service of the University of North Carolina, Chapel Hill. Please stay with us.